Welcome to Empowered to Grow, the podcast. I am your host, Hanan Elbasha, the business doctor. Following our conversations with empowered women who woke up one day and consciously claimed, I am more than enough, I am worthy, I am empowered to grow. And along their empowering journey towards realizing their own potential and their quest for growth, they became a beacon of hope and guidance for others. May you also find your inner power to grow. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Empowered to Grow. This is our Unchartered Discussion episode with Tracy Blum. Thank you, Tracy, for being with me or continuing to be with me. I'm loving our discussion. We had a big gap in the middle between the episodes recording because we were just like kind of chatting up on a lot of things. But one of the topics I know that you brought up in our first discussion, and this is something I believe we share, is motherhood and career slash business. And I think we don't talk about this enough. And there are a lot of societal expectations that come along with it that are associated with shaming, guilting, and those translate into how we view ourselves. And as you said, like I believe in our previous conversation, it was about you can have it all. But having it all is also associated with shame because, you know, it's like you can't really have it all. There's always this question with like, are you crazy? Do you think you can have it all? And there's this, I think, a condescending note that comes along with the question. And the second part of it is, when we do go for it and when we do try, we tend to deprioritize ourselves, as in us as a woman. And I know that's from my personal experiences. I put myself last on the list until I found myself, you know, kind of throwing up blood and being having to go to hospitals and stuff and being asked by the doctor to be hospitalized because they need to figure out what's wrong with me, and me saying, I can't afford that luxury because, you know, my son's at home, my husband's at work, I have work, the businesses I'm running and I'm partner in, and I have my doctorate degree I'm supposed to be studying. And it was just that we don't find time for us. What are your thoughts on it?
I can so relate. When I was running my clinic, and it was a 3,000 square foot clinic, I had 32 therapists, I had two babies, a husband that traveled more out of the year than he was home, and I ended up with severe anemia, and my blood vessels had shrunk, and I was having to get blood transfusions, iron infusions, and then finally it resulted in I had to get a hysterectomy. Wow. And it was fascinating, right? Because, you know, it was a health clinic. But I wasn't looking at my own health. Yeah. And what I came to realize, and it was supposed to be a 6-month recovery and I took 5 weeks. but what I came to realize in those 5 weeks was I was missing systems, nothing more, right? Yeah. I didn't have a system in place for what happens if I do go down, who can run the clinic? I didn't have a system in place with what happens if I go down, who's going to look after the kids? You know, how are we going to eat healthy? How are we going to keep our lives going? Because I was doing it all. Yeah. And by doing it all was crushing me. And so as Darren Hardy says, in order to live an optimal life, you must be doing some pruning. So what I did was I sat down and took out all the stuff I didn't need to be doing that wasn't bringing me joy.
Yeah.
And, you know, just shifted it all around, which included closing the clinic.
Wow. Right.
And I closed that clinic in 9 days. The universe just lined it up. I went to the owner and said, I'm going to sublet the back half of my space. I already had the construction blueprints drawn up because of the architecture background. And I said, you know, that was part of it, was that I needed half the team to manage in order to, you know, alleviate the pressure. And he said, what's ideal? And I said, ideal is I walk from the lease with no penalty. Mm-hmm. And he said, can you be out in 9 days? We have someone who wants your space. They're madly in love with it as is. And I'm like, deal. So yeah, I shut down that giant business in 9 days. I was so happy. I was vomiting on the last day. And my people that were helping me were very upset with me. And I'm like, no, this is happy vomit. And what it is I've eaten too quickly because I want to get back to moving out. So, and then I just built now a career where I'm making way more money. I put way more money in my jeans each month now than I ever did with that clinic. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I drive my kids to school and I pick them up at night and I do cook meals. Not well, ask anybody. you know, the dog gets walked. I have my time to go for my walks. I have time to go do my training. And I have time to help amazing women. So for me, I've rebuilt everything around what works for me ideally, which is having a healthy, thriving family. If my kid wakes me up 6 times in the middle of the night over a boy, mm-hmm. I know I did it when I was young, but it's like, really, it's not the same, right? When they're your own. And I can still get up and function at optimal because I have systems in place for when that goes sideways.
And that's the part, actually, part of what I talk about when I talk with women. I'm like, it's not just about starting a business. It's about having the ability and the understanding and the tools to be able to integrate that business into your life rather than it take over your life. Because for me, that was it. I was functioning 18 to 20 hours a day. I was barely getting any sleep between the taking care of our son, home. I'm an expat, so I also have no support system in place, no friends and family in that kind of setting. I was running 2 businesses and I was doing a consulting job in the middle because, again, I believe that that's what I need to do. That's the finances that I needed to have. And I was also studying for my doctoral degree. And I was like, okay. And that was a funny thing. When people met me, it's like, oh my God, that's amazing that you do all these things. I'm like, superwoman. I was like, yep, you know, I take the pride in it. But actually, I was exhausted. And I was literally just putting myself to the ground because, of course, I wasn't eating well. Of course, I was hardly sleeping. I was literally just collapsing. And yet, I felt I had no choice. And I think we were talking about this earlier. It's the fact that believing that you do have a choice, and that choice is kind of, well, personified in systems and in finding out who you are and what you want to do and what makes you happy and what your core competences are. And these are all elements we don't talk about enough because we're stuck in a place thinking there's no choice.
Yes. Or, you know, you have family members who are like, well, when I raised you and you don't want to, you want to be a little bit loyal to them and going, well, I had a good childhood or they're good parents. So maybe I should be doing some of that. And that it just doesn't work these days. Right. And how I'm raising my kids may not work for those kids. Yeah. And, you know, I used to laugh. My kids used to get more acupuncture, massages, Reiki, all of that than any other humans on the planet, because that was one of my systems. If I had to go into work late, my kids got treatments. It was the most expensive babysitting ever. And I had the calmest kids, right?
Like that's great. I taught our son meditation and I started putting him on, like, you know, here, listen to Headspace, this meditation for children for sleep for like 3 minutes, even 3, 6, 9, whatever it is, just. And he started saying, okay, but now he started taking it as an excuse for, you know, for delaying bedtime. It's like, aren't you doing meditation? No, you're late. Go now.
Well, but it's awesome because my kids will say, mom, I need a massage, or mom, can we go for acupuncture? Like, they're very aware now of their own bodies, of what they need, which for me is such a gift because I would shove that down and not pay attention to that talking of, honey, you need someone to rub your back, right?
That's the essence of self-care. We keep talking, it's the essence of self-love. That take time to be in tune with our bodies and take time to care for our bodies, because we don't do that enough. Again, we have this huge expectations of our bodies that they will carry us throughout our lifetime and beyond, and still not cater for our bodies in terms of physically, in terms of healthy food, in terms of, you know, the fuel that goes inside, because now I'm reintroducing myself again to the concepts. So I'm aware of my body. And then of course, our mental and emotional health are way down our priority list again.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's self-love.
And I think it's too, as a society, women aren't taught to tell their partners what they need either.
Yeah.
Right. Like they'll find it difficult. Like I will say to my husband, I need 20 minutes. I need a 20 minute run on the treadmill so that none of you die tonight. Right? And, you know, and he'll go, okay. And he'll make sure that the kids don't bug me or any of that. Or, you know, I'll say, okay, I need to go do this. Or I need to go do that. And he will, you know, I'm very lucky, knock on wood, I have an amazing husband who will listen and do that. But I didn't always ask. I was taught, you know, you just muscle through. And I know, like, when the girls that used to work for me, not girls, women, lovely women that used to work for me, a lot of them would be where their husbands would be making, say, $20 an hour. They were being paid $65 an hour. But if the kids were sick, they're the ones that went home. And I would say, that does not make sense. Take a look at the financial loss. He's always griping that there's never any money. You're making good money. Why is he not going home? And again, it's a mindset or a cultural belief about women have to do this role.
They're nurturers. They're the primary nurturers.
Yeah. But if the kid's sick, sleeping, dad can do that. They're just going to sit on, you know, TikTok or Facebook or YouTube anyways, but at least you're still bringing home the bigger income. Right. So there's a lot around that too. But for us to have bigger incomes doesn't mean that we need to be masculine or not as feminine or not need to go and do stuff that makes us happy as women.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And that's the other part. It's about us being conditioned to embrace the masculine energy, especially when it comes to the career part, or else you're not going to make it in a male dominated field. Well, most fields are male dominated as well. So you have to kind of suppress your feminine energy when it comes to work, because that's the only way it will work for you. That's the only way you're going to advance in your career. But that reflects on also how you carry your relationships, you carry your life, you prioritize everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, you know, with going out of architecture, which was male dominated, and then you running the job sites, it was mostly male contractors, and then going to a clinic where it was women. They are the same in business.
Yeah,
they are. It was so fascinating. And because, so it sounds bizarre, but I used to carry bags of candies, like hard candies, in my purse. And when someone was really crabby, I'd be like, here, suck on this. And then they'd be so excited that they got a little treat that they would then be open to negotiation. So the staff at the clinic caught on to me, right? Because I would teach them that with how they're working with their clients, where they'd come in and I'd slide the candy bowl over and pop the lid and I'd go, would you like a candy before we start? And they'd be like, we're on to you, right? But it's, everybody just wants to be heard. Everybody wants to feel appreciated and be known that they are part of the team. But when we step into the male careers, we decide that we have to shed everything that we are, when we actually don't.
Yes.
Right. As long as people are being heard and appreciated and there's gratitude for them, both male and female work the same, but it's our belief systems that have decided that it's not. And I find all of it, I find people fascinating. I love observing and seeing what makes makes them work and what tweaks need to be done to the mindset to shift it so that they can go out and do whatever they want.
That's true. And speaking of how you show up as well at work and how you need to impersonate that work persona for yourself. I used to have this room on Clubhouse that we used to discuss imposter syndrome and limiting beliefs. And it is amazing. Of course, the majority were women coming in feeling like, you know, especially those in corporate, saying, I feel like an imposter, like I'm the only woman at the table. And I feel like I have to work extra hard to prove myself. And yet I still don't feel worthy of being there. And I'm like, who put you there? It was you. You worked yourself. You earned your space. And that's what you should believe. And that's how you need to, to change that dialogue. Our inner dialogues need to change. And again, when I went to an empowerment coach a couple of years ago, I think it was amidst my shift in my mindset and everything. And the first time she used this expression, oh, that's a story you tell yourself. And I'm like, I got so agitated then. I felt so agitated because I'm like, what do you mean? That's, I'm not lying to myself. That's exactly what happened. She's like, yeah, what happens is something, but how you process through it and how you, the interpretations you make out of it, that's a story. And that depends on your perspective. And that depends on your own experiences. I'm like, okay, elaborate. Now I'm intrigued. Elaborate. But it's all associated.
Yes. And one of the things I used to tell myself and the people at the table, and pardon my French, I'm going to swear here. I hope that's okay.
That's okay.
Is I say, women do it better because as women and moms, we don't have time to fuck around.
That's true.
Right. We don't have time to sit around and then we'll discuss it over golf. And then we'll no. Because in our heads, we're like, I've got to do this. Then I got to go home and I got to help this one with their math homework. I got to help this one with their reading. Then I've got to take the dog for a walk. I need to do 2 loads of laundry. And then I get an hour where nobody talks to me. So I'm not going to drag out the meetings. I'm not going to drag out the processes. Exactly. We get in and we get it done and we take people's feelings into account. Right. So women at the table makes the table better. Even if it's only one of us, we make the table better. And that one of us needs to be there so that the others can follow.
That's true. And that's why for me, the slogan that came up for me was empowered you empowers others. And it was kind of a journey and a transition and realizing that, as you said, the more you show up, the more you speak up, the more you keep doing what makes you shine, actually, you're empowering others that you don't even know about, but they're seeing you, they're observing, and they're getting inspired that they can also be more authentic and be more aligned with their core.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't have to do it like everyone else.
No.
Right. No. It's our unique us. That's what attracts the people. And it's just when I had the clinic, and now this wasn't different because it was women. It was just different because they had more access to me than the construction site people did. And they would come in and they would start up always about boyfriends. Like, and I always thought it was funny because again, that's another thing with women. When we are standing fully authentically as ourselves, we have no problem finding men. Men do not find us too aggressive. They do not find us too masculine, right? Yep. And they come in and I'd say to them, hang on a second, is this related to your practice or your personal life? Personal life, I said, so every minute I spend with you is a minute I take away from my kids. So no, I will not give you those minutes. You need to go talk to this other therapist in the clinic, or you need to book in for a counseling session with me, but you're not allowed to take from my free time. And sometimes they got upset about that. But what for me, it was modeling how to clean out the time clutter so that it's that pruning again, right? I'm pruning out all because I tracked it 1 week. And listening to people, I called them sob stories because people would come and sob about it, but not take the advice and do anything about it because they weren't paying. Yeah. Right? I'm a huge proponent of you.
Energy
you
suckers.
And it was 22 hours out of a 40-hour week. And I went, I just continued on like normal without judgment so I could track it. And I went, no wonder I'm working overtime. Because I'm allowing this. I did not have a bad team. I had an amazing team, but I was allowing that time clutter, that time waster in. And so we had a staff meeting and I showed them what I tracked without the names. And I said, so as of today, if you want help on your personal lives, you book in or you book in with someone else, but you will not be allowed in my office. And I will call you on it and you're going to get very upset, but this is the new system.
That's very similar to what I had in my the last two businesses. I had my business partner once. He's like, you know, I used to be in the office anywhere between 5 to 7 hours. That was about it because I dropped my son off at nursery and then like preschool and then picked him up. And well, of course, I was working during traffic. I was working when he was doing the training sessions and I worked post bedtime. So one time he came and he's like, you know, you're not here long enough in the office. I'm like, what's my output? And I was a partner in the business in one of the businesses and the other, I was the strategic director of marketing in the other business that we founded together. I'm like, what's my output? He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, my output and my productivity in those 5 to 7 hours, that's in person, other than at least another 5 to 7 outside the office, but let's assume you're talking about the ones inside, excuse me, look at what my output is versus the team you have outside that stays here 8 to 10 hours because they have an hour to an hour and a half coffee morning every day, catching up on what happened last night, and an hour to two for lunch, where they step out of the office and drive somewhere to go get lunch and come back. And then maybe they can linger around a bit longer. So don't talk to me about how many hours I'm spending in the office. Talk to me about what kind of work I'm getting out and what's being done. You want to have a status meeting? Let's have a status meeting. And he's like, you know, okay, but you know, there are meetings. I'm like, and I do the best that I can. I've befriended every mother in school because to play dates. So my son could go off with someone else and they could pick him up. I've done everything. I've accommodated everything, but don't tell me about the number of hours. And that was for him. It was a bit shocking because I had never confronted him in that way, but I was like, I'm done. I'm not going to be talked to that way. I'm not going to be judged that way because I'm performing. I'm overperforming. I'm handling two businesses, you know.
Yeah. Well, and it's the power producer that us as women are capable of, right? Exactly. And this is not to slam men or whatever, but I haven't seen men do it. Yeah. Right. But for us, we just have more at stake. Yeah. Right. So we don't have time to fool around. And similar, you know, we had said in the break where I'd stepped in and assisted my old architecture office for a bit, and they started complaining that the designers couldn't keep up to me. And I said, that's not my problem. I'd prefer to work less hours with you. And they're like, no, you have to be here by this amount of hours. I go, why? I'm already handling just to cover a vacation. I already am running more projects than your next top producer in less hours. I said, you pay me what you're paying me because of the quality I bring to the table, not the hours. Nope. And that's what women entrepreneurs need to remember too. We are entrepreneurs because of the quality that we're bringing to the table. It does not mean because we're the owners, the buck stops with us and we are the ones that have to pick up all the slack. No, we bring our expertise in, we drop it, ta-da, everybody be amazed. And then we go have our families, we go have our lives, right? Yeah. That's the working smarter, not harder bit.
Yep.
But that starts with us knowing what we're bringing to the table.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Now you're giving me the idea. I think we need to have a panel discussion about this and discuss it a bit more. Maybe bring in some men to have the kind of the discussion to be enriched. I'm not going to say it's an argument. I'm going to say we always enrich. It's all about synergy and it's all about harmony. And it's not a matter that one gender is right and the other is wrong, but it is about creating and co-creating and synergizing with each other to get the best out of each other. And I think that's
Absolutely.
Tracy, I loved our discussion. Excuse me, dry mouth now, but I loved our discussion. I know we can go on for many more hours discussing and sharing, but it was truly empowering to have this conversation with you. So thank you so much for your time and for sharing your energy.
Thank you for having me. It was lots of fun.
Thank you, Tracy. Well, again, empowered you empowers others. I think this is just what I'm going to be saying to wrap up this conversation. Thank you for joining us and see you next time. Bye. Thank you for listening to the Empowered to Grow podcast. For further engagement with a tribe of empowered women, join my Facebook group, Empowered to Grow, or visit my website, www.hananulbasha.com. I'll catch you on the next episode. And until then, know that empowered you empowers others. Love, abundance, and prosperity to you all.